Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe, all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Friday, November 26th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. You can always hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Coming up on the pod, I'll be joined by Tyler Yaremchuk from the Nation Network. We'll discuss a few things. I got three questions, maybe more for him, and he always brings the good stuff. Absolutely love talking to Mr. Tyler Yaremchuk, so that's coming up here shortly. This episode is brought to you by Stat Hero. Stat Hero is the first of its kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus a house in head-to-head fantasy matchups. Winner take all. Sign up for free right now at stathero.com/hockey and use promo code hockey for a 100% deposit match. It's pretty damn good, so make sure to get in on that. Like I said, we'll be joined by Tyler Yaremchuk. No audio coming from the Oilers today. I think people were saying that they were flying out to Vegas today from Arizona as they get set to take on the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow. It's a 5 o'clock start time, so make sure you plan accordingly. Don't tune in at 8 to Hockey Night in Canada and realize the Oilers game is done. But should be a fun one. I mean, Oilers took the first game. Vegas was dealing with a lot of injuries at that point. Now the script has flipped as the Oilers dealing with some injuries. We'll see how they fare tomorrow. Who are you starting? Ned? Are you keeping Cassian with the two big boys after an 11-point night? Yeah, I know. And it seems like everybody wants Skinner to start here, so we'll wait and see on that. It's a busy day in the NHL, too, eh? 13 games on tap, a lot of afternoon games, so make sure you check your fantasy line as well. By the time you listen to this, it might be too late, but just in case, Boston is up on New York Rangers 2-1 at this point in the afternoon. It's the morning game, and then coming up later, you got Winnipeg and Minnesota. I'll go just with the Canadian teams. Ottawa's in Anaheim at 2 o'clock. That Winnipeg game's at 1:30. Montreal in Buffalo at 5 o'clock. Also at 5, Vancouver. They got to start turning things around here. They're in Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets, and the Toronto in the late game, 8:30 start here in Edmonton. They're in San Jose to take on the Sharks. So not much coming from the Edmonton Oilers camp as of this afternoon in terms of news, but I guess we'll get lineups tomorrow morning, maybe in the morning skate, and see who gets the start. And it's an interesting, I mean, Mikko's dip lately, like his numbers, his record is great, and he's been good, but his numbers are dipping, and Stuart Skinner's playing well. Like, even in the loss to Dallas, he's playing really, really well. So I don't think I'd be bothered either way. I think, and it's weird to say this too, but I feel like Stuart Skinner, I'm just more confident in him than Mikko. Mikko Koskinen always makes me nervous. He does. I guess I'd be okay with if any guy got the start. They're going to have to really play well as a team though, and get down and get that defense down as a whole, right? A five-man unit. This is not just on the D-core. They're going to have to play super, super tight defensively. It looks like Jonathan Marchessault is out of COVID protocol, so another problem for the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow here. And we have no lines or anything like that coming from Vegas or Edmonton side, so we'll have to wait to tomorrow for all that. But yeah, it's the goaltending one's an interesting one. Who gives you the best chance to win? Does Dave Tippett go with his veteran? And Dave Tippett loves his vets, we all know that. Or does he go with Stuart Skinner? Because there's something there. There's something there. There's an opportunity. There's an intrigue, if you want to put it that way. And then on the other side, we kind of know who the defensemen are going to be. There's no call-up as of Friday afternoon, so maybe Duncan Keith's injury, hopefully. Well, they did say it was day-to-day. It's not that serious, but nonetheless, don't expect a change there unless Keith is able to come back. But you probably sit him out this one because then you don't play again until Wednesday, so Keith can have a few extra days of recovery and hopefully he can be back for that Wednesday Penguins game here at Rogers Place. But up front, I like the fourth line. I thought they were really good. Ideally, you don't want JP on the third line, but it is what it is for now. Like, and that's the thing. People are, it's crazy here at the inbox at 1260 sometimes because people are like, fire Tippett. I'm like, really? Look at their record. Yeah, sometimes he makes decisions that are not, they're not the best, but obviously they're working. Like, what he called against, you know, but Hernan, Arizona sucks. Yeah, they do, but he made the right call. He did. And he got 11 points from his first line now. I don't know if you can split that up. Seems a little crazy to me, but at the end of the day, you're playing a much better team in the Vegas Golden Knights. So for me, it's one of those things where it's like, I think you almost have to split them up and let Vegas decide who they want to match up against McDavid and who they want to match up against Draisaitl. Nuge needs to score more, and we'll see if Derek Ryan draws back. And a guy that was getting rave reviews early in the season, but he's falling off here. He had the injury, missed a couple games, came back, not really good. He's leaking a lot. Now, it's not all on him. Obviously, there's four other guys on the ice and a goalie, so we'll see. We'll see. I think he's going to stick with the same 12 forwards. I don't know if the lines will be the same, but we'll wait and see on that. But coming up next, I've rambled on for far too long, but I want to hear from you on Twitter, at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers. Who would you start in net? It's such a good debate. Like, there's good arguments for both. There is. So I'm kind of leaning towards Skinner. For sure I am. He just looks solid. And I know he's 2-3 on the season, but his numbers are good. He's just, most of the goals he can't really put on him, like, and Koskinen played okay in Arizona. I mean, those two last goals, can you really put him on him? No, but he looked shaky to start. Remember that one dump in or clearance, and kind of it was like it just bounced on him, and the camera, they didn't follow it, but the commentator was like, what's going on there? So Koskinen, a little shaky to start. Anyways, coming up next, we'll get to Tyler Yaremchuk from the Nation Network here on the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. No one plays daily fantasy sports to lose. Winning feels so much better, but traditional fantasy sports are a long-term losing proposition because you never know who or what you're up against. Stat Hero is the first of its kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus a house in head-to-head fantasy matchups, winner take all. And here's the crazy part. Stat Hero shows you their lineup before you play and you handpick the team you want to face one-on-one. Sign up for free right now at stathero.com/hockey and use promo code hockey for a 100% deposit match. That's stathero.com/hockey. Use promo code hockey for a 100% match. Terms and conditions apply. Then I welcome in my good buddy Tyler Yaremchuk from the Nation Network. He's got a ton of podcasts out there. You can find him at on Twitter at Tyler Yaremchuk. Ty, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Hernan. What a compliment. Good buddy. I love it.
Oh, buddy, we miss you around these parts, but seems like you're killing it, man. You're doing a ton of podcasts out there and doing some awesome work. Tyler, I got three questions for you today. We'll have some fun since we haven't had Oiler action yesterday or today, and we'll tee up a bit of the game tomorrow from Sin City. But first off, I want to talk to you about Leon Draisaitl. I think if you're in the Toronto market, you're kind of always going to kind of hate on Leon Draisaitl, maybe some American markets as well. But what he's doing this year is just absolutely outstanding. He's got 40 points already, 19 games. He's got 20 goals. Everybody keeps talking about 50 and 50. Now, it's not completely unrealistic. It's going to be hard to do, but this guy's just out of this world good right now. He leads the league in scoring. He leads the Oilers in scoring, and McDavid is second, something I never thought we'd see. But for you, is Leon Draisaitl just the best player in the game right now for you, Ty?
Yeah, I think, just based off this year, I would say he is. I mean, he's leading in goals. He's up there in points, all that stuff. Like, he's got the most game winners with 6 as well, most power play goals with 10. Like, this guy's just been an absolute machine. And I think you're right. A lot of people outside of Edmonton will always just look at Draisaitl and go, yeah, well, he gets to ride shotgun with McDavid. But, I mean, he's scored 10 goals at even strength this year, and 6 of them have come when he's not on the ice with Connor McDavid. So the idea that he's just doing damage because of 97 isn't true. And has he been the beneficiary of some great cross-ice passes on the power play from 97? Absolutely. But that doesn't take very much away from what Draisaitl's been doing. I talked about, you know, what his ceiling could be this season in terms of goal output on the Daily Faceoff show today with Rachel Dory, and we both kind of agreed, like, you know, he could get to that 60 goal mark. Mm-hmm. I think he will. I think he'll go, you know, in that 61, 62 range is where he'll finish. He's not getting 82 this year.
No.
He joked about it in his press conference. But I do think, like, he's shooting 29% right now. his career average is, or sorry, not his career average, but when he scored 50 goals a couple years ago, he shot just under 22%. So again, like, his pace will come down a little bit naturally. Just shots won't go in for him for a stretch. But I mean, what he's doing is incredible, and only two players have ever gotten 60 goals since we hit the lockout in 04-05. It's Ovechkin and Stamkos, and I would put money on Drysdale joining that group this season.
Tyler, when the Oilers took Leon Drysdale, like, I think we all knew he was going to be a really good player, and we got to see him here play when he signed with the Raiders and with the Kelowna Rockets, and you can tell he was just another level when he came to the WHL. But did you ever imagine that he would be this good?
No, I think the thing with Drysdale as well was when you watched him in junior, he was so big, right? Like, he would just dominate games physically. Yeah. And you'd kind of go, okay, well, dominating games physically at the WHL is great, but that's usually the one thing that doesn't directly transfer over to the NHL, right? And then you even go back to what he was doing earlier on in his career, right? Like, his that first mini season there, when he played 37 games and only scored 2 goals, I think a lot of people were kind of doubting him. Even the next year when he played 72 and he didn't crack the 20-goal mark. I mean, I think that was the summer where everyone was throwing him into the package to get PK Subban, right? Or talking about, okay, well, you have McDavid, you have Nugent Hopkins, maybe you move Drysdale because you don't need that many centermen. And, I mean, thankfully the Oilers held on to this guy, because the next season they make the playoffs, he had 30 goals. And it was that playoff run, I think, where people maybe started to clue in, including myself, that, okay, this guy's not just going to be your average middle six player who puts up 25 goals. Like, this guy's going to be legit. He had that big game against Anaheim, and, you know, he followed it up a couple years later with a 50-goal season, and that's the moment where I think everyone went from, okay, he's more than just a good, maybe borderline all-star player. This guy's one of the best in the game, and he hasn't looked back since then. I mean, every year since then, I've kind of gone, okay, he's going to come back to earth a little bit. Even this year, I was humming and hawing because his over-under was set at, I think, 46.5, 47.5.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you know, Drysdale's going to be good, but he might not be playing with Connor as much, and, you know, 50 goals is really hard to get to. Well, I mean, I kind of look stupid for even debating that, because he might have that done by the Olympic break.
Yeah, it's great to see. I mean, we're so lucky here in Edmonton to watch these two guys play. Now, Tyler, on the flip side, you know how it is on the inbox at TSN 1260. A lot of people not happy with Dave Tippett, even though that first line he put together against Arizona had 11 points and pretty much won the game for the Oilers. Going into Vegas tomorrow, Ty, can you really split up that line after an 11-point performance?
No, and I think Cassian looked good. Like,
yeah,
11 points. Cassian missed on a few chances as well. Like, they very easily could have had more than that. I thought their forward lines were actually really solid. I'm looking up the numbers right here, and if you just go off sort of those core groups, okay, Drysdale, McDavid, Cassian outshot the Yotes 12-9. The fourth line was even. The shots were 5-5. The third line, it was 3-1, and that second line with New, Giammo, and Hyman, the shots were 7-4. So if you want to rip Dave Tippett for his line combos last game, no trio got outshot by the Arizona Coyotes. So what are you ripping Dave Tippett for? It clearly worked.
Like, yeah.
He clearly found something there. So, you know, I don't love Jesse Puljujärvi being in the bottom six. I think I would like to see him on that line with Nugent Hopkins and Hyman, and then maybe you move Yamamoto down. But I don't see any reason coming off a win to sort of mess with that group that Tippett had. I would be perfectly okay if he rolled them out again against Vegas.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you can, and ideally you don't want JP in the bottom six. And I think Strudz on the Gregor Show yesterday made a good point in saying that he likes him there for now just because he gets the puck more as opposed to playing with Connor McDavid. So we'll see what happens. And Tyler, I think it's fair to say, like, people get so up in arms about these lines, but that Cassian's not going to be there long term, right?
And that's another interesting point too, actually, is when you're going up against teams throughout the season, throw different looks out there, right? The last thing you want to do is just be stagnant and stale and come playoff time be running out the same thing. And if things go wrong there, then you go, okay, well, we don't know what else works, right? So I like the idea of just, you know, not always going to the blender, but once in a while when your team needs a spark, mix things up a little bit. Get guys comfortable playing with each other, because you never know what you're going to have to do when injuries hit. You never know how things are going to break over the course of an 82-game season and into playoffs. stuff. So give yourself the chance to see how different trios work. And yeah, I don't have a big problem with it. I still would bet that come playoff time, Puljujarvi's in the top six and Cassian is probably in the bottom six. But I would also guarantee that there's some point during the playoffs where Zach Cassian's going to be taking shifts with Connor McDavid again. That just, we know that happens over the course of a seven-game series. It's never as easy as just setting your lines and rolling. So getting looks at different combinations now, there's nothing wrong with that.
Who are you starting tomorrow between the pipes?
Skinner. Koskinen's been really good his last two starts, and this is not a comment on Koskinen at all, but I mean, Skinner, the goals he's even given up, like a lot of breakaways, right? Like you go up against Dallas where he gave up four, there were breakaways in there. You go up against Buffalo, he allowed three goals. They were all breakaways. And then the other three games, he's been great. So the goals against have not really been Skinner's problem. It's been the team in front of him that lets him down in those cases. I think he's been the better of the two, although I will agree that it's been close. But I go right back to Stuart Skinner. I mean, I want to keep seeing what this guy's got.
And one last one here for the current Edmonton Oilers. What have you made of young Philip Broberg so far, Tyler? Because I know here at the station, just even on the postgame, a lot of people are impressed. I mean, he played that 2-on-1 poorly against Arizona, but he's a young defenseman. But he looks really good. And I know we were talking about, like, when Cuckoo is back and Keith is back, like, I don't think it's going to be that easy to send this guy down.
Nope. And I talked about that when they called him up. I said, listen, it sucks that they lost Darnell Nurse.
Yeah.
But this Broberg call-up had the potential to be not quite a season-shifting moment, but one of those things we look back on in a few months ago. Maybe in a weird way, the Nurse injury was a blessing in disguise because it forced them to call up Philip Broberg. And I mean, I thought he had a really good game, take that 2-on-1 out of it against Arizona when he was on the ice. The Oilers outshot the Coyotes 12-6. And that's a number I just really like looking at. I know I brought it up with the forward line, but at the end of the day, if you can consistently be on the ice for more shots for than shots against, if you're a forward, that says a lot about how you're generating chances. If you're a defenseman, it says a lot about how you can get the puck out of your own zone. I mean, like 12-6, again, basically a 2-to-1 clip. You don't do that if you're spending a bunch of time in your own end and turning pucks over. So I think there's been moments where Broberg looked really good and shown off the skill that he has as a top 10 pick. And there's also been long stretches of games, Hernan, where I've kind of gone there, sat there and said, I haven't really noticed him at all.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
If a defenseman
like Broberg can sit back and you don't notice him for a period and a half, and then maybe you notice when he jumps up in the rush and go, hey, he's having a good game. That is a good thing. So Broberg's been really, really solid for me. A few mistakes, sure, but he's a rookie defenseman, and I wouldn't be surprised if when everyone's healthy, we maybe see someone like Cuckoo or Russell end up going on waivers.
No, that's a fair point. I think he's been really good, and I mean, I'd take him over Russell and Cuckoo right now and have him with Keith and Nurse on that left side. So he's been fairly impressive, and I think everybody knows he's going to have really good games. He's going to struggle in some games, and that's just a young defenseman. It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football, and nothing goes better with football than turkey and bed. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. Tyler, one last one here for you on the Lowdown Show today. I don't know how we got on this topic, but we were talking about players we liked on the Oilers growing up that probably, because I grew up late 80s, early 90s as a fan, so you always loved Gretzky and Messier, but I was a Glenn Anderson guy, right? Like the fourth best forward on the team on a stacked Hall of Fame team, obviously, but and I mean, for you, you're a lot younger than me, but was there a player on the Oilers when you were growing up that you just loved, but he wasn't like the elite of the elite? He wasn't a top player on the Oilers.
Yeah, like, I mean, the tough part here with this one for me is that I grew up during the decade of darkness for the most part, right? So outside of the good young players, there really wasn't a lot else going on the team. So it was tough to kind of fall in love with those role players that were in and then gone. My first favorite players, though, were Alex Hemsky and George Laroque. Hemsky being, obviously a skilled guy, but Laroque would fit the criteria of your question. I remember, watching Ryan Jones when he was on the Oilers for a little bit. Everyone loved Ryan Jones, right? Like, he was one of those guys that just worked hard every single night, and when the team was getting waxed, it was nice to have a guy like Jones in the lineup who'd go lay a couple of big hits, get a couple of shots on goal, and fly around the ice. So I don't really have a great answer because, again, like the decade of darkness.
Yeah, it's tough.
There weren't those players coming sort of into the lineup, and they didn't have a good enough supporting cast. So I'll give my answer and say Ryan Jones.
Yeah, and didn't he have back-to-back like 18-goal seasons for the Edmonton?
I remember that hat trick he had against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah. Too. Like, he had a couple of like decent little productive years for them.
And he was a beauty. And it's a little unfair because in the 90s, if you're growing up watching the Oilers dynasty, I mean, Glenn Anderson wasn't a bottom six guy. Like, he was elite. He's just, there was more elite guys ahead of him. Like, Glenn Anderson on any other team would have been, he would be a star, but he's just on the Oilers with Gretzky, Messier, and Curry. He was the fourth stringer there. So it's a little bit different, but that's a good answer. Ryan Jones was an absolute beauty. Tyler, I know you got to jump on, you're doing a hit with the Dave Jamieson show. Like always, thank you so much for the time. Continue to do all your great work you're doing out there. Where can people find your work?
Just hit up my Twitter, @TylerUramchuk. I'm always posting links, posting podcasts, posting articles, so just keep it locked there.
Who does more podcasts, you or Dusty?
Ooh, wow. That's actually a good one. I'll give the edge to Dusty.
Okay.
He does more just outside of hockey, right? He's always got his fantasy football
and
his betting podcast going on, so probably Dusty. But I'll make the comeback. I'll launch a few more.
All right, buddy, and prediction for tomorrow?
Oh, boy, it'll be a tight one. You know what? I'm going to say the Oilers lose. They beat Vegas last time.
Yeah.
I'll say they lose, and it'll be 4-3. It'll be a close one.
All right, perfect, buddy. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy the game.
You too.
Big shout out to TY, TylerUramchuk, Mr. Chucks there on Nation Network. He's got a ton of podcasts. Hit him up on Twitter @TylerUramchuk. He's doing some great work. We truly miss him here down at TSN 1260. Very, very talented young man. So always fun to chat with him and Ryan Jones. And I feel like I kind of dogged on Glenn Anderson. What I meant was, like, back then, like, the Oilers had so many stars that I was a fan favorite of Glenn Anderson, who was probably fourth or fifth, wherever you wanted to rank the Oilers at that time, because they were all great. All those guys would have been stars on other teams. So it's a little bit different because, like Ty said, he grew up in the decade of darkness where Hemsky was your star, and then you had a bunch of just guys that were two-way guys. Some guys were okay offensively, but so I get it. So I didn't want to put Ryan Jones and Glenn Anderson in the same boat because it is completely different, obviously. Different times. So I just want to make that clear that I'm not saying Glenn Anderson was a bottom six guy. Obviously, he wasn't. But I'm just saying that when everybody in that time was loving Gretzky, Curry, Messier, I love Glenn Anderson. And at the inbox today, when we were talking about it with Low Tide, a lot of people said, hey, Hernan, I was an Anderson guy too. So obviously, I'm not alone on that. And a lot of people chimed in for Esa Tikkanen, and I was a big Tikkanen guy too. So it's not that I didn't like Gretzky, Messier, and Curry, but I just was like, well, everybody loves them. They're the greatest. They're the best. But there's something about Glenn Anderson's style that I fell in love with. So it's a little bit different when you're talking to a younger guy like Uramchuk, who started watching the Oilers when they were just crappy, right? So Ryan Jones, good pick, though. He was a good Oiler in some tough times. He had back-to-back. I think it's back-to-back. Let me look that up here before I put my foot in my mouth like I always do. But Ryan Jones, he was a good Oiler. I know he dropped the mitts a few times. He can play in pretty much every situation. So he scored with the Edmonton Oilers 18... and then 17. Okay. So he scored 35 goals in two seasons for the Edmonton Oilers as a bottom six guy. So and not a lot of power play time either. So good on him. He was an absolute beauty too with the media. He had a great personality and just an overall good dude. I remember Nuge was a rookie. I think they roomed together because they had that show, The Oil Change, and he'd take care of little Nuge. So shout out to Ryan Jones. But let me know too as well on Twitter. Who is your favorite player? The favorite player, no matter what team, no matter what year, decade, whatever. But that wasn't the star of the team, but you just like to be Chopper. It could be Kovalenko. I mean, everyone loves freaking Igor Ulanov, and he wasn't. I mean, he was like what, a bottom pairing defenseman, but that guy was tough as nails, man. He'd block shots with his face. He didn't care, and he was an absolute legend here in Edmonton. So let me know. Let's have some fun with it. And it was a fun conversation today on the Loadout. Like I said, lots of games on the NHL schedule. 13 games. Make sure you check your fantasy lineups. There's a lot of afternoon games coming up shortly here, but Oilers in action tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas Golden Knights are trending in the right direction after dealing with some injuries earlier on in the season. Currently, they sit 4 points back of the Oilers. They're in third. Need to lock it down and win this game on Saturday. 5 o'clock puck drop from Sin City. I'll be back. I'll be on the post-game show with Connor Halley as Tommy Cazzola gets the night off tomorrow. Make sure to tune in to that, but a big game, should be a fun one. Always fun when the Oilers are in Vegas. Let's close this one out. Hope you enjoyed it. Keep the downloads coming. I truly appreciate all the support. You can always download every episode on any app. It's available everywhere, so please download and subscribe. Hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. For my man Juanito and the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll chat next week.